Okay, Rob, we're all set now. We begin again.
Thanks, we are back. So, Klaus.
This is Klaus, NBOC and NCSG. I just want to follow up very quickly on
one meeting, please.
John.
Okay. I wanted to follow up what Jimson says about we have a lot of work to do on appropriate funding. I think it would be very important that we realize that we don't all work from the same base in this house. Some people are able to participate in meeting and do a lot of work because it's part of their work. Other people are basically funding that from themselves. And as it goes, more and more, we have the problem that basically people giving up their job or half job and losing salaries because they're trying to engage with this work. And this is not reflected at all in that reality which is over there. And what's happening in ICANN, and sounds to me like we are getting into a kind of in-kind economy. And this is very, very dangerous, and that it doesn't work, and what will happen is it is actually damaging the overall operation of ICANN, because we will never reach the grassroots. We will always be elitist because people simply can't afford participating in the internet multi-stakeholder process. That's all I want to say.
Okay, thanks. So, sorry, we need really to go to move to the next item. If you can really be brief, really, really brief.
Andrew, back for the transcript. A couple things, really briefly. Steve mentioned what do we get and how does ICANN get and spend its money as two core issues. I think that those are core issues. The third issue is how do we get any resource that we get? Because I think that simplifying that process will make it easier for the constituencies. It will address some of the issues that you're talking about, Klaus. There are two kinds of elite. One is the elite of the people who have the time and are willing to spend the time to get knowledgeable and be helpful in these issues. The second one is about people who have the resources. To the extent we can simplify the process, get money out the door, and allocate more of it, that will certainly be helpful. I agree with Jimson, there's a lot of outreach that needs to be done, especially to emerging markets. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Laurie, you need to be brief. Let's move.
This is Laurie Shane. I just want to definitely second what Klaus said. Coming from an organization where I'm a volunteer.
Okay, we can move to the next item then. It's about, can we have a slide for this or not? So it's about the proposal to have a non-contracted party house meeting, or a cross-community meeting for Buenos Aires, and this was proposed by Bill.
Thanks. Bill Drake. By the way, just on the last point, I don't think NCSG has ever applied for crop money because the process is too complicated. There's lots of conferences, but we've just never been able to get together to do that. So On the third item, there was a discussion amongst those of us who were involved in the preparation of this meeting on this point, and I'd like to not, and I've raised it with NCSG people, but not with CSG more generally, so let me put it on the table. So NCUC has in the past organized three big day-long conferences prior to a couple of ICANN meetings in Toronto, San Francisco, and most recently in Singapore. We did a conference in March that was a preparatory thing for the Net Mundial. We had about 150 people in the room for 8 hours. It was very successful. And staff then put an item into the budget saying, based on this experience, we should generalize the opportunity. I think they just didn't want NCUC to keep asking for money to organize conferences. So they said the money is available to the community more generally to organize some conferences if they would like to do so. And nobody has taken advantage of that. The money is there. Given that, I think that we do have some commonalities of interest in an environment where, with the new GTLD program, the contracted part of the ICANN world is going to grow very rapidly, where ICANN is increasingly talking about, staff sometimes refer to ICANN in terms of the DNS industry as sort of the overarching view. There's a real question of where the hell we all fit in and what kind of concerns we have jointly in this new emerging environment. And so I thought, as perhaps a bridge-building, collaboration-building exercise between the two stakeholder groups, and to put on the table for the broader ICANN community the kinds of concerns that we respectively share around structural issues in ICANN and the larger topography of GTLD policy, et cetera, we could propose to organize a conference before Buenos Aires, which would still be within this fiscal year, where we would this could be done in a number of different ways, but it would be on the kinds of concerns that the non-contracted party house has about around ICANN issues. When I suggested this, Rob said, well, the money is there, and it is potentially possible if you guys come up with a proposal. So this would, of course, take some work to pull it off, obviously, and you have to do these things far enough in advance so that people can make travel plans to come for an extra day. There's also always the question of whether the people who are directly involved can get an additional day of hotel travel support and things like that in order to come to the meeting. I've had to deal with those kinds of things in the past. But the bottom line is still, it seems to me that it's an opportunity that's there that we're not taking advantage of, and that this might lead us to collaborate a little bit more intensively on some substantive points. I would think there's a number of interesting things that we could get into. Now, there may be cases where CSG has one set of issues that NCSG would not feel so strongly about, and vice versa. So there's different ways you could do it. You could plan all the sessions jointly together, or you could simply sort of say half the bit is going to be organized by CSG and half by NCSG, and you mix it. You could do it either way you want, but the point would be, nevertheless, to put our various concerns on the agenda and engage the broader community. I think, for example, just to give you one example, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow, the whole notion of public interest. For those of us who have been on the accountability discussion, we have widely varying ideas about public interest, what the public interest means, and yet it seems to be rather central and underlying to the whole accountability enterprise and some other things as well. I remember the first, and I'll stop, really. I remember the first meeting I came to as a GNSO counselor in Mexico in 2009. There was a discussion in a plenary setting about the public interest, and Philip Shepard said, the public interest is just having better contracts. And I almost fell out of my chair coming from my particular political perspective. And I thought, well, geez, this shows that there's a need to have a real discussion around this issue. We have not mind-melded on this topic at all, and I think that there's real work to do. So I could easily see one good session on that. And we could have a mix of formats. You wouldn't want to have all talking head panels, I think. You might want to have more some debate on some issues, maybe some open, structured, large-scale interaction with just a moderator. There's a number of things we could do. The question is whether the basic concept appeals to people.
Friday before the meeting.
The Friday before.
Okay. Yes, Ron.
Thank you, Ron Andrew of BC. It's an excellent idea, Bill. It's an excellent idea. And I immediately, when you said public interest, then, you know, that was when the bell went off for me. Absolutely. The issue that we're seeing is there's too much discussion about buying and selling of domain names and not enough concern about public interest. As many in the room might be aware, I've been with other colleagues in the BC and ALAC and other groups working towards trying to make sure there's a concern about the public interest where we talk about highly regulated industries. There's been a lot of dialogue about that over the last year or so, year and a half, and that is a very much a public interest issue, and it's exactly the kinds of things that we as users of the Internet need to be fighting that battle for. And so I welcome the idea. I don't think we should be talking about new GTLDs. That's the last thing I think we should talk about, but I do think we should be talking about public interest and those types of issues, and I welcome that suggestion. Thank you.
Okay, so we have Jonathan. Klaus, you want to speak? Hey, Jonathan.
Thanks. It's Jonathan Zook from ACT and the IPC. I would like to endorse this idea as well. I think that what has transpired in the last year or so that's kind of amazing is that there have been periodic instances of consensus within the ICANN community, and that that has been an incredibly powerful occurrence that we should endeavor to repeat. So finding those areas of commonality is I think, critical to affect change and reform within ICANN. And so anything we can do to get together to find those areas of common ground and represent ourselves as a unified house as opposed to, you know, the House of Usher, I think would be a good idea. Just my own little pitch for my, you know, pet project about data, I think one of the things that comes up quite a bit in working groups is two sides disagreeing about the actual facts that are in question for a working group, and that's because no effort is made to ascertain the facts, so it ends up being a competition of people's opinions about the facts, and those sometimes divide along ideological lines. And the people are often in possession of the facts is ICANN staff sometimes, but other times it's the contracted parties. And as the number of them increases, I think we're going to want to find a way to systematize the collection and acquisition and use of data for more accurate policy development. And so I think that's something that I would try to put on the agenda if we had such a meeting, and something on which I think we could all agree.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Klaus, you wanted to speak? And then,
yeah. This is Klaus. I note with astonishment that Bill, after two contributions which basically talked about we have a problem with attending meetings, immediately proposes another meeting. Also, I completely agree that we need to discuss these things. But before we, and I repeat myself, before we can enter a discussion about more days, more meetings, more topics, we need to have a discussion first about how to ensure participation.
Okay, thanks, Klaus. Marlon?
Thank you. I'm hoping that Gabby is on the phone, who is one of our BC members who has really done a lot of pioneering in Latin America, reaching out to E-Instituto to reach business users very broadly in awareness about ICANN. And the reason I mention this is I'd like us to think about this in two ways. Tony Harris is here. He has done a lot of work. Some of the rest of you from Latin America have also done a lot of work. There's an industry group called ALETE that represents 19 ICT associations that will be attending the Buenos Aires meeting. If we can do a meeting that is effective about topics that are of general interest, they are not about, and I really think it's important that we not make this about GTLD policy. We have a space to work on GTLD policy, and I'd like us to keep it there. But we look at topics that are of broad interest about why people need to understand what ICANN is, to follow it, maybe to join, but also to be more informed. And I know Jimson just did an event with over 200 participants in Cairo and might want to comment about that. But if it's an event of general interest, I think we can attract the local attendance as well. And I'd like us to focus on working collaboratively to make this really beneficial. Not all BC members will feel positive about an extra day. So I want to park that. But we do have an outreach and participation committee, subcommittee. And one of our goals is to significantly broaden awareness about ICANN and begin to figure out then who wants to spend the time to join something at ICANN. So if we can find a way to do this, I just want to make a comment about funding. The allocation of money was $11,000 per meeting for a meeting space. We're going to have to be able to convince the budgeting process, not to go into this now, but it's something we need to focus on. We need to be able to use all three of the $11,000 in aggregate so that we have sufficient money to do something useful and perhaps to add in some additional overnight participation in order to make sure that we have diverse participation and diverse representation. Thank you.
Thanks, Marnie. Tony?
Thanks, Rafiq. Certainly, from my perspective, I would also support this. I think it would be a good initiative. I think the timing would be pretty good as well, because currently, vast numbers of this organization, they're just drowning in IANA, in stewardship and accountability. And then behind that, we've all got our respective concerns on various things. Tony mentioned one of the things that's a real concern for ISPs is this universal acceptance of new GTLDs. Other groups, even around this table, have got their focus on other things which aren't specifically IANA, but are really big issues. So the key thing for me would be to try and focus the agenda down if we're going to do an event like this. It's one opportunity where we can hit some of the broader things that aren't getting the focus that they need. So in principle, I support it. It's just honing down what we would cover and how we would do it. That's the issue.
Okay. So I think we have John, then Kieran. Jonathan, you want to add something? Okay. So John, please.
Thank you, Rafiq. John Berard from the business constituency. I am prodded by Klaus's comments to remark that I, too, worry that ICANN is becoming much more like a trade association than it is what it was born to be. And I worry that seeking to try to get some level of control over things is ultimately going to be unsuccessful and therefore unsatisfying, because so much of what we are trying to catch up to is being driven by global demands and organizational growth that far exceeds anything that the community can match. The percentage of staff and level of activities conducted by ICANN in 2015 far greater as when you compare the size and scope of activities of the community than perhaps it was in 2005. The budget is a gross example, probably not totally insightful, but as I say, a gross example of just how steep that hill is. And it strikes me ultimately that one of the best things that we could do as the non-contracted parties house is to try to prioritize our effort, perhaps to delegate certain areas of concern to subgroups. And this idea comes to me listening to Bill talk about the possibility of another meeting. Klaus, sorry, but I suspect that another meeting is probably a good idea, especially if it can be done within the context of one already scheduled, that it would be wrong to do anything more separately. So I would suggest that anything that we would cook up moving forward that is in addition to the work that the non-contracted party house and its entities already engage in should be done collectively or not at all. And I would suggest that one of the first things we could do collectively would be to prioritize what's really important to us. And if certain groups within the non-contracted parties house want to take responsibility for being on point for any of those or any additional matter, that could then be can then be done. I think prioritization is really the only path to sanity in this current environment.
Okay. Thanks, John. Karen, please.
Hi, Karen Mellon-Charuville with the IPC for the transcript. I guess I would echo and agree with the importance of prioritization of the issues, and I also want to encourage us to do as much work as we can without having to meet in person. And with all of this, you know, remote participation is helpful. Meeting in person is obviously the best, but we need to take into account not just budgetary concerns when we're asking people to give additional days and more meetings, because you know I'm in a position where I have the support of my company to travel, being in a policy position, and I'm very grateful for that. But I also have a 6-month-old daughter, for example. Some of you enjoyed her dulcet tones at the LA meeting, and so there are other things to take into account when you're talking about whether or not we can participate and spend more time. The idea of adding another day onto an already 10-day meeting schedule for a number of us is prohibitive from a life standpoint, not just from a money standpoint. And you will, in fact, eliminate the possibility of some very important voices at the table. Very difficult for young women who have young children to travel to these meetings already. And I'm telling you, you know, sort of emotionally on this one, because my daughter's away from me for this whole week. And then 10 days in a couple weeks when I go to Singapore. So let's not try to add more days and more meetings, because you will eliminate the possibility of very important and valuable viewpoints and voices at the table, and that's not what we want to do here. Thanks.
Thanks, Kara. Okay, Ron, I think you will have the last word for this, and then we will move to Tony.
Thank you, Rafiq. Thank you very much. I don't want this moment to go by without seconding John Berard's comment. That was a very strong statement, and I want to make sure we all caught it. John was talking about having cross-NCPH committees, and I think that's a really, really good idea, and it would go a long way for us all to understand better the issues that we're all facing and to understand each other's points of view. So I just did want to underscore what John said and make sure we didn't forget it. For me, that was the strongest takeaway I heard this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay, just to wrap this one up, because we do need to move on, so we're already running late. Bill, a question to you. You've organized these sort of events before. How far in advance do we need to have an outline plan if we did decide to go down this? Do we need to have something by Singapore? I'll run.
Well, thank you for that question. Operationally, yes, organizing meetings is a challenge, and sometimes it takes a lot of volunteer labor. And obviously, if you were to try to organize something, luckily in this case, we're talking about June. We've got a half year to ramp up. If we put a process in place where people were collaborating and can get a concrete, reasonable proposal to ICANN staff in the next month or so, say, I would hope, I don't know, they would have to inform us. And just as at least a basic outline of what it might be, and then we could put together a planning group that would evolve it over the next month. In the case of the last conference, actually, it was put together pretty quickly. I mean, the meeting was The meeting in Singapore was in March, and I kind of ramped that up starting in January. But I was working pretty much solo with the help of one or two people. So really, huh? Say what, Carolyn?
This was a joke from some of us. We said, and therefore it moved faster.
Yeah. No, but okay. The point is, the sooner you get, thank you, the sooner you get started, obviously, the better, but we certainly have ample time to make this happen.
What I would suggest, I'm aware there's other people who've got points on this, but we're already running behind schedule and we need to cut it off. What I would ask is that when we have our separate sessions, if we can discuss this there, and then maybe when we come back into one of these plenary sessions, we can spend 10 minutes on this and feedback where we are from our respective groups, because otherwise we're just going to leave this open-ended, which I don't like to do, and we're not having the time to allow the full discussion. So discuss it in separate groups and then come back. We do need to move on to the next session now, and I believe that session's being led by Steve and by Bill. So I'm going to hand over to Steve here. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve Metalitz. I think we can go back to session one. Thank you. So these are our two topics that I think we're supposed to handle between now and more or less 12:30. So why don't we jump in? I see Rob has his hand raised. Is he? No, he does not. Okay. Bill and I will be chairing this, and I think I drew the short straw to begin the session. We have a GNSO review in process. We had hoped to have by now, I think we were supposed to have by now, some kind of report from the Westlake group, which has been tasked to carry out the study on review of the GNSO, but we don't have that. As far as I know, there is nothing to discuss on that part of it. But I think we've already had a lot of discussion, certainly within our stakeholder group, about the prospects for this review, both what is within scope, the fairly limited scope of the Westlake review, which is basically looking at existing structures and processes and how people evaluate those, and at a much broader level, whether we really need fundamental structural change to our house or to the structure of the GNSO as a whole, in order to function more efficiently, to have a more robust multi-stakeholder environment, and to counter, I should say, some of the concerns that Bill raised in the last session here about whether or not ICANN is becoming more and more a trade association for entities that buy and sell domain names. So with that introduction, I would like to open the floor to comments from any of the participants about your expectations and hopes and dreams for the GNSO review, but most significantly, are there things that our house can be working together on, or areas where at least having more dialogue about our expectations and our concerns might be useful. Does anybody wish to speak? I see Heather. Is anybody else? Steve? Tony? Okay, well, let's start with those. Heather?
Thank you, Steve. Heather Forrest for the transcript. I think you've given us, Steve, a very helpful platform to work for. This is an enormous topic, and you've identified two substantive areas, if you like. One is the GNSO review, the process that's run by Westlake and how that review is being conducted, and another is what's outside of the scope of that review. If I might, in terms of your call for housekeeping matters, suggest that in dealing with the first topic, which is the Westlake review, that we even divide that up for ease into matters of methodology or process and then matters of substance, if that's helpful to organize the dialogue.
Okay, thank you. Steve Del Bianco.
Thanks, Steve Del Bianco with the BC. On the topic of the GNSO review, just recently did an extensive interview with Westlake, and it occurred to me two observations I wanted to share from the BC's perspective. The interviewers, when I asked them about it, revealed that there hasn't been much discussion of what it was that preoccupied us 7 years ago. Because you recall it was 6 years ago at the Paris meeting when the final split between the non-contract and contract, CSG and CSG, all came about. And it came about rather abruptly because we weren't really getting anywhere, and it seemed like an interesting structure, right? But so much of what all of us in this room were concerned about in the last review, so we're going back 7 years, was the weighted voting that gave the contract parties the ability to swing anything or stop anything that we were behind. And in our discussions in the BC, there's been precious little discussion of lingering problems with weighted voting between the contract and non-contract side. And when I asked Westlake, they revealed something similar. There hasn't been much discussion about that. So I don't know whether to say that we solved that problem, because in many respects, it didn't change the rules too much. Right, Aubrey? You know what I mean, right? The weighted voting changes, but the number of votes was rearranged in such a way. And yet, maybe that's a reflection that the contract parties' house have spent the last 6 years singly preoccupied with the new GTLD program. And perhaps that'll stay that way, or perhaps that'll change in the future. But it's been relatively peaceful with respect to the voting between contract and non-contract. The other observation I'll make is that the BC, in our discussions with Westlake, continued to suggest that we are struggling, in the commercial stakeholders group side, we're struggling with treating CSG as anything more than a label that was slapped on to three constituencies. Because, as you know, we do operate as three constituencies. We don't have a CSG structure of any significance yet. And so we talked a little bit about that too. But very interesting to me that the voting issue that preoccupied us 7 years ago doesn't seem to be on the table, and I'd love to hear what others think of that.
Okay, Tony Holmes is next.
Thanks, Steve. I must admit, I was pretty dismayed at the last ICANN meeting when I saw from the initial discussion with Westlake that they appeared to have a very small remit and a very slim view of things that needed to come into consideration. I don't know whether that was by design or whether it was by accident, but it wasn't particularly helpful. And I was one of those that was actually involved in the work that Steve referred to when, at the Paris meeting, we were told, well, there's this proposal on the table. None of us liked it. So you go away and you've got a couple of months to fix it, and if you don't fix it, then this is what you get. And sure enough, we came up at the very last minute with this approach that we have today. And we were told, we'll try it. It something different. If it doesn't work, we can always go back. There's been no willingness to go back since then. And now is the time we've got to raise this. And I'm aware from discussions with other people around this table that we have very different views, not only of how we can fix it, but even what the real problems are as well. We work in different ways. Even within the CSG, we have differing views on this particular issue, and I'm certainly aware that from the CSG perspective and the non-commercial perspective, we have some pretty hard lines where we fundamentally don't agree on very much at all. But the strength of an event such as this is trying to define where we do have some commonality, because the strength will come out of that approach. And for me, the right way to approach this would be to try and see what are the key things that where we do have the same view, that it isn't working, there are bits of this that need to be fixed. If we try and go for solutions, I don't think we're going to get there, because it's too diverse a set of issues. But if we can actually agree on where the real issues are that need to be fixed, then I think we can probably make some progress, and it's in everyone's benefit if we can do that.
Thank you, Tony. We do have a queue. So far, we've heard all from people in the commercial stakeholder group. I see Aubrey has her hand up. So, but I would encourage others as well from the non-commercial side. And I think Tony has posed the question, well, what are the problems with the status quo, in effect? We are scorpions in a bottle, as Dan so colorfully put it. The bottle was the result of the last GNSO review. Should we be doing something differently to function more constructively. So let me ask. I've now got Ron, Marilyn, Avery, and then Susan and Bill.
Thanks, Steve. Ron Andrew, business constituency. Like Avery and others on this, that I look around, we were on the GNSO review working party, an interesting title in and of itself, working party. But in fact, we were working with Westlake in terms of trying to help them design a survey that could be put out to the community. And so many hours were spent on developing the survey, and one of the issues, of course, was this issue of the contracted versus the non-contracted party's house, and does the system work? And many people say the system is broken, but Westlake were not anxious to take that up. It felt like there was, it's a very lightweight survey, and at the end of it, I don't have the exact numbers, but I'm going to say that there was less than 300 people that filled out the survey. That's not much of a review of an organization of our size and stature, organization being ICANN. So I have great concern about what the results of that review are going to look like at the end of the day, because it really wasn't a very broad sampling. Then they did interviews with a number of people who were they more random in some cases and officers in other cases, but at the end of the day, those interviews could not have amounted to more than 50 interviews. I'm going to say it's probably half that. So this is the basis upon which the Westlake study is going to come back and respond to the GNSO review. When we commented, we on the, in the committee commented, or the working party commented on how we should be, let's talk more about this system, this broken system that we see, and the weighted voting. We see that, of course, across the board in PDPs as well. When we see that the contracted parties aren't happy, they just stymie the conversation until you get to a deadlock, and nothing comes of it. So we have a lot of problems within the structure of ICANN itself, that needs to be reviewed. And so I think we should not wait on looking to see the results of the report from Westlake, which are coming soon, towards the end of this month. In fact, we in the working party will see the first draft of that, so the community will see it probably by the 1st of February, certainly before Singapore. And I would think that maybe there's an idea we can take back and discuss, and when we do our breakout sessions, that we create one of the Berard subcommittees and look at how we think there may be ways to address this. How would we look at this? Rather than waiting for ICANN to come and say, okay, now it's time to talk about it, why don't we take the lead, get out in front of this thing, and see how, from our perspective in the NCPH, create a number of ideas that we can put out there and have some conversation about. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Alan just showed me the statistics, and actually 152 people completed the survey, and there were 27 interviews, according to what I'm seeing there. So your point is well taken on that. Okay, I think I have Marilyn next.
Thank you. Marilyn Cade speaking. I want to note that when we did the last review, we first of all had a council self-review. Then we had two phases of a GNSO review. The GNSO review is more than a council review, and one of the more than just a review of what the policy development process is. Westlake was not given much flexibility in the development of the terms of reference. I say that because I did ask, and I also asked staff, but that is true for almost all of the consultants. There are very narrow terms of reference that are developed, and the funding for the study is then built around that narrow terms of reference. So that's something for us to understand. I'm very disappointed at the fact that there was not larger participation in the interviews and also in the online participation. I'm sure all of us did what we could, but it's very mystical to many of our members to, and the questions were not well formulated. I also complained about the questions. Very bizarrely, I was able to opine extensively on my views about the contracted party entities, performance, et cetera, even though I'm not an expert in the contracted parties. The same thing was true the other way. I don't want to beat a dead horse about what the survey was able to study and not, I would like to reinforce the idea that we go back to something we did last time. We did our own self-review. And I would propose that we step up to that and ask for volunteers and put together our ideas about what is working, what's not working, remembering that we're in a very different ICANN than we were 7 years ago. The NPOC now exists. The ALAC is very, very different than it was 7 years ago. The GAC is much larger in its participation of governments. One thing that most of you are not aware of is that we used to kick off every ICANN meeting with a town hall. The board and the staff sat in the room and listened to us. We drove the agenda, and I mean the community broadly. And one of the things maybe we need to think about again is it is our ICANN.
Thank you. Avery, I think you are next, and I'm just looking to see if we've got Susan and Bill. Is there anybody else in the queue? Aubrey, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Aubrey speaking. I agree with a lot of what has been said. I mean, I think we were reminded at the beginning that the houses were supposed to be accounting fantasy. If I look around at this table, I'm saying this is quite an instantiation of fantasy. So, obviously, the plan that was put together did not work. And I think Steve that said it, though I may be mixing up, was right that we were supposed, that we were supposed to come back to this. I mean, we were actually supposed to have, consensus on the plan. We actually didn't have full consensus on the plan, but we did have an acceptance that, okay, we can come back in a couple years, see how it works, go on with it. But essentially, we have a plan that, not quite going back to spiders in a bottle, but that pretty much diremptured, which means violently tore asunder, the group into, two houses, and then set up the houses as oppositional structures each to each other. In my view of having been on the council both before and after, it's a much less dynamic and collegial and negotiating and coming up with consensus body than it used to be. And I think that it has, in effect, weakened the GNSO as a body because, by and large, it spends most of its time in a kind of stasis and only taking on things that we think we might be able to push through given this double diremption. Now, the other thing that was very different that time is we wrote our own terms of reference for the review. I mean, yes, we sent them to the board, and the board had it was a recommendation like anything else that they could accept or reject, but in a sense, we set the terms of reference. That did not happen this time. I think if we had, we would have set a term of reference that had, let's investigate this house division, and then perhaps you all would have also said, let's investigate this stakeholder, division. I'm happy with the stakeholder division, but I know you guys aren't. Now, one of the things that was mentioned was the review party. I actually thought the review party, and Ron and others correct me, was actually going to initiate a self-review as part of our process, but we haven't done that. So I think in terms of Marilyn's call for it, it's almost a call to the review party, of which Ron and I are both members. I'm not sure who else here. I forget. And sort of say, hey, you said you were going to do this. What's happening with it? So that seems a good idea. But just going back to this and the narrow, the board SIC made a decision that, this was going to be narrow, narrow, narrow with none of the structure discussed. And that is something that some of us have been individually objecting to throughout the process. But perhaps this is one of those places where we can find consensus among our group that while we may not agree on what the structure should look like, we pretty much can agree that the structure needs to be looked at.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. That's a useful, very useful contribution. And I appreciate also having your perspective as a counselor before and after the last review. Susan, I think you're next.
Hi, Susan Payne from the IPC for the record. Yes, I wanted to move on to the sort of issues of the structure, and the, as it won't be a surprise to people, from the IPC's perspective, the sort of commercial stakeholder group model doesn't work for us in all circumstances. We feel that it there's a diversity of interest within the CSG, and we don't always have the same views, as Tony pointed out. And it's a, there's a disenfranchisement of the individual constituencies and a loss of relevant expertise and input, where on so many issues, regardless of the issue, there's only one space for a CSG representative, and we have to negotiate internally about who gets that space before they can then take part in any working group, you know, a review team, even on issues like sort of travel support for meetings. And so I think we need to recognize that, that some kind of one-size approach on everything isn't appropriate. It does depend on the issue. Some issues probably do require parity between the non-commercial and the commercial presence, and some issues don't. In some issues, it's there is someone, you know, there is a particular constituency or entity of interest which is far more relevant to be present and has a far bigger investment in what's being discussed and far more expertise. But I recognize I'm saying this and I'm probably going to now get shot down, but can we agree that, that actually sometimes parity isn't the way to go and that some issues require expertise from a particular area? I recognize I'm going to get shot down.
Okay. I have Bill and I have Heather, David, Tony, Steve.
Thank you, Bill Drake. Well, Avery has moved us into the structure part of the discussion. The agreement that Steve and I had was that we were going to do this in two pieces. We would talk first about the GNSO review as it is configured and the process issues, and then and he would chair that, and then secondly, the structure questions, and I would chair that. And we could go to the structure questions now if that's what's itching at everybody the most, but I do wonder before we go there if we want to talk at all about the performance of the GNSO within the terms of reference that Westlake had. I mean, if you looked at the kinds of questions that were being asked and so on about the effectiveness of the PDP process, and so, et cetera, do we have any concerns about those kinds of questions that we would like to share with each other before we talk about structures? If so, we can do that. Otherwise, we'll just move right on the structures. I will share my own experience just quickly on this, and was that I asked Westlake, you know, don't you want to, like, talk to the chairs? And they told me no. They said that that was specifically outside their TOR, which I was surprised by. And I sent a message to the SOAC chairs list complaining and saying, shouldn't they be talking to all chairs rather than, I guess they had talked to one or two, and then they had talked to a few counselors. But I kind of thought this was something they should be interviewing people more systematically. And after that, Westlake got a hold of me, and we did talk for an hour, and we talked the entire time about structures, which are not within the scope of their TOR. So I found the whole process a little bit bizarre, the way that they teed it up and managed it. But be that as it may, I just want to ask the question. Otherwise, we'll go into structures. Do we have any issues we would like to share with each other about within the existing structure, about how the PDP process is managed, how the GNSO functions, the efficiency of the GNSO process, et cetera? Or should we just go right on to our collective angst around structures? Marilyn, would you like to?
Sorry. Bill, would you clarify for me, the GNSO is the entire entity. The GTLD policy development process involves PDPs, et cetera. Are you asking about the policy development process and the work of the council, or are you asking about the larger GNSO?
Could be either. I'm saying within the terms of reference of Westlake's review as it is now, do we have any concerns that we want to share with each other, or shall we, you know, you can scope that at either level, council or GNSO more broadly. That's fine, but there's a bit of a difference between talking about whether we're dissatisfied with the structures, or and the questions around how effectively the GNSO council and working group process works now.
So I'll defer to Steve on policy, and then I'd like to talk about structure.
Well, Bill, I'll yield to you if you would like to chair at this point. We have a queue of people who asked to be heard.
No.
You want to go back to that?
Why don't you finish the queue? But I see Steve's responding to my question. Just felt like we shouldn't leave
right
the GNSO review per se before we marched off into the other things.
Okay. My queue now has Heather, David, Tony, and then Steve Del Bianco. So, Heather.
Thank you, Steve. Heather Forrest. I'd like to pick up on a few of the points that have been made. Bill, since yours is the most recent, I suppose we can start with that. I suspect from the IPC perspective, we do have concerns about the Westlake review, both in substance and in process. And at this point, I think it's safe to say that we found it difficult to differentiate or to extrapolate those concerns from structural concerns, that some of these things tie together, that some of the concerns that we have about how the current Westlake or the questions being asked and what our own answers to those questions are tied into to the structure, which we feel just isn't working. Picking up on Steve's point earlier, it's interesting, there has been a suggestion that interviews would be weighted more than the survey, and yet we've only got 27 responses to the survey. I just wonder, to the extent there is an issue around confidentiality of the survey to start with, but to the extent that anyone's willing to offer up by a show of hands, who's actually been contacted for a survey? For an interview. Yeah, so even within this group, it's a relatively small number. It's less than 10, which is quite surprising. And I think that goes to your point, Steve. Data collection, we don't know. That's part of the scope of the review. So this is within scope and addresses that point. We have no idea what documents they're looking at, how that's proceeding, how that's going on. And we really don't know how the report will be compiled and what level of subjectivity will happen there. So I suppose those are our concerns relating to what Westlake is actually doing, and the questions they're asking, not what we want the scope to be. My question, picking up on Avery's comment, is how do we formalize our objection, collective objection, if you like, to the limited scope of the review or to any of these issues? How do we formalize that? It's one thing, I worry. We have 90 minutes for this topic. We can come to consensus that we have concerns. Maybe we can't come to consensus as to what those concerns are. But how do we make something useful out of this 90 minutes? I mean, what do we do? How do we formalize our objection to limited scope, number one, structure to be on the table? What issues do we agree upon? And then the mechanics of taking our own review forward. If we all can come to an agreement that the Westlake review is not helpful to us, how do we move forward?
Okay, those are some good questions. I think there will be ample opportunities to express our views, but I think one thing that's come out of this discussion is that there does appear to be a widespread unhappiness with the status quo structure, even though I'm sure there won't be as much consensus on why exactly. Look, can I just, Aubrey, you wanted to respond?
I think we could compose a letter and send it to the board saying this is what we want.
Okay. Thank you. I have David Cake next. Mic is not on.
Okay, first to briefly clarify the point Susan made about there being the parity between commercial and non-commercial groups. In the normal course of things, there will, of course, be lots of places where parity isn't required, and that will be within working groups, and that's fine, and we all agree. I think there is starting to be an interesting one of the consequences of the number of cross-constituency working groups, which naturally limit participation just because of the otherwise enormous unwieldy size, is that we are sometimes getting sort of these requirements to balance participation that aren't always well, don't always mesh well with the actual work being done. But to get back to the point of the review, I think there seems to be I don't know if it's a consensus, but certainly a widespread view that the review trying to avoid looking at structural things was not helpful. My impression of that was kind of driven from the SIC, from the board committee, who definitely tried to push this review away from structural things. And I mean, is there anyone who thinks that was a good idea to try and avoid structure on this review? No one at all? Right. That's what I think that is actually a really significant...
David, sorry, repeat. I didn't hear you. Do what?
Is there anyone who thinks that the review trying to avoid looking at structural things was a good idea? And I don't think there is anyone. And I think that level of consensus is actually really quite significant, and we should probably certainly report that. And I think that's I certainly know that we have different complaints about the structure, but the idea that we all ended up... Not only that, I think that idea to attempt to restrict it to structural things is failing quite badly, in that we all ended up talking about structural things in interviews and things anyway. I think this is really not just the outcome of the review itself, but the way in which the review process was tried to take a form which was sort of untenable is something that we should definitely consider, maybe a question for us to bring up with some of our board time and so on at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. My queue now has Tony, Steve Del Bianco. Stephanie, did you want to be in the queue? I thought I saw your... or not.
I'm just asking an IE question.
Okay. And then I have John Berard and Greg. And then we should try to wrap this up to see. I think we have had a statement of something that is generally agreed to, but what are our next steps beyond that? So, Tony.
And can I just intervene real quickly, Steve, to say Rob came over and whispered in my ear that Fadi's on his way, and if we want to save any time in this session for prep for Fadi, we should allocate that. So that means we should be concise here.
Okay. I'll try and do that. When the question was asked about process or structure, where to focus the discussion, I found that difficult because, for me, the whole issue is about the terms of reference that was given to Westlake. That seemed to be key, and certainly I think without the structural piece, then the whole thing, it basically isn't even fit for purpose. I feel that strongly about this. What's coming out of it isn't going to fix very much at all. So... with regards to input, even, you asked a question around the table, who's been contacted for an interview. Well, what happened there was that I think it was after Bill had a dialogue about the chairs getting interviewed, they sent out, in fact, it didn't happen that way. After that, a note was sent around to the chairs saying, have you been asked? And I think there was one or two that had actually been asked. The rest had been totally ignored. So that's when those of us that hadn't been interviewed were receiving a request after. So even that very low number has been inflated by other actions. One of the things that I think we could do from here is send something back to the board saying that we don't think the current scope of this is going to address any of the key problems at all, that it's not fit for purpose, and it needs to be broadened even to be useful. And if we could reach an agreement to do that from here, the timing's pretty good because the next ICANN meeting is pretty close.
Thank you. I'm going to ask volunteers to get together perhaps over lunch and try to draft that that letter. I'm sure Tony will volunteer and David, since it was his suggestion to crystallize this, and others can join them. Steve Del Bianco, who is always concise.
Especially so right now. Steve Del Bianco, I have items of process, not structure, that I believe we may have consensus within the NCPH. Since Bill asked about process issues, putting aside the structure within GNSO, think about two processes where the GNSO has been very frustrated with the process. And one is affirmation reviews, and the other is cross-community working groups. Affirmation reviews, especially 9.3 and 9.4, a review of who is in the GTLD space, and 9.4 is the upcoming review of the new GTLD program, are expressly about generic names. And yet, the entire SO, the entire GNSO gets one reviewer. One reviewer. And it's all about GNSO. So I'm seeing some nods from the non-commercial side as well. That's an area where parity based on interests should not be the case. We in the GNSO ought to have more than one seat. So if, in fact, we can get some support on that, it's one of the issues I've been pushing at the CCWG as we potentially import the affirmation into the bylaws so they're more permanent and not revocable, we'd look at ways of realigning how people get appointed. The second, Steve, being concise, is cross-community working groups. Now, cross-community working groups like accountability, like something like the expert working group on directory services. These are areas where there is a huge challenge if the entire SO, called the GNSO, is allocated one seat. And to pick up on Susan's point, Susan mentioned this notion of looking for something other than parity. But so many of us in the CSG believe that a big piece of our problem can be solved if we have participation by all three, CSG, IPC, and ISP. Parity doesn't have to be violated when it comes to voting, Aubrey. Voting could still be completely parity between CSG and NCSG, but it's just so much better for us to have three people go on to the cross-community working group rather than have to find a way to pick one to keep the other two engaged and involved. And then after they did this, Aubrey, they opened up the CCWG to everyone and anyone that wants to participate, including people that are unabashedly clueless about what it is ICANN does. So it would be so much more – you're laughing, but it's sad. But it would be so much more productive if three of us, all CSG, NCSG, IPC, all of you, NPOC, were all on board and engaged in this because it all affects our space. So here's a process issue, not a structure issue, and it's a process outside of the GNSO where we ought to be able to come together.
Yeah, we need to save that point and figure out where that fits in. John, did you want to speak?
This is John Verard, BC. My points have been made, so I would yield my time to begin FOTI gazing.
You're joking.
Okay. And I think Greg is our last speaker, unless Stephanie didn't get her question answered.
Greg Chatton, IPC. I'll be very brief. I think that the process issues with the Westlake survey point to two chronic issues that we probably can agree we have with ICANN, which are the two T's, trust and top-downism. Thanks.
Thank you. I think Stephanie wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, it's. I don't quite understand how a contract that goes to the very heart of this organization, we're not a client. Now, I understand the contractors like one client, and they probably like staff as a client because then they can establish relationships, etc. However, if you're really running a multi-stakeholder process, it seems to me that you have a responsibility to figure out a way where there are advisors from the group, a small subcommittee, somebody who becomes part of the Office of Principal Interest, or OPI, on that contract. Otherwise, it is more like you have an organization that is not a multi-stakeholder organization. It is a board and a staff that consults stakeholders occasionally. And that appears to be what happened on this review from my innocent and naive newbie viewpoint.
Thank you. Okay, I think we will wrap up this segment. Tony and David will be holding the pen to see if we can come up with a statement before we leave here tomorrow that we can send to the board about our concerns. And it may be as detailed or as general as, you know, that's, I leave that to the drafters. And whoever wishes to assist them, you can find them down in that corner. We now are transitioning to our preparations for the meeting with the President and CEO. Any topics that we want to make sure to...
So we're skipping the part that I was going to do?
I'm sorry.
I thought we were going to talk about structures a little bit longer. Are we not?
Bill, go ahead if you have something else
to
add.
Well, that was the original what we said we were doing.
I thought we were having the discussion that we have a consensus that the exclusion of structure from the terms of reference was a bad thing. We've had some views expressed about structure. We may and I think that's where we sit right now. But if you want to add something on that,
well, I don't feel religious about it. If people want to move on, but what you and I said just before we started this was that you would do the Genoso review process thing, and then I would facilitate a little discussion around structures if people wanted to give more voice to the structural issues, and I thought we were going to do that. And so I was just surprised when you said, let's do Fadi now.
Fadi is here.
Fadi's already here, so it's kind of hard to prepare for him.
Right. But we could... Bill, I'm sorry, and I apologize if I wasn't, you know, delineating clearly between those two topics. And I'm happy to have an opportunity for people to talk about the structure. We've had several comments about it. I think Steve Del Bianco's comment was about a criticism of generalizing the structure that we have in the GNSO and generalizing it to a lot of non-GNSO items like the AOC reviews and the cross-community working group. So I consider that a contribution to the discussion of structure, but I'm certainly happy if people do wish to make comments about the GNSO structure and what we have a consensus that needs to be looked at. If people have comments they wish to bring forward now about what they think about that structure, I think this would be very timely.
Well, let's see. We'll take a minute, and if nobody has anything, then we'll just stop and move on to Fadi. So, on the question of structure, we have all been living with this thing that was put in place a few years ago, which was really not so much of our design in a lot of respects, and we have, I think, in both sides of the House, our respective concerns about it. I think the concerns are quite different within the two stakeholder groups. And it might be useful for people if they want to talk a little bit about what those concerns are. I have heard the CSG folks talk about how they prefer a much more constituency-based situation and how they, and in many contexts, I've seen the assertion being made that, for example, each of the constituencies needs to individually be represented in some larger context. Whereas on the NCSG side, I think some of us have different concerns, which would be kind of moving in the opposite direction. So I simply wanted to put on the table the question of thinking about the evolution of where we're going. As the contracted parties environment expands, is the non-contracted environment optimally organized to represent the range of interests that are supposed to be aggregated and brought into play in the policy process, or are there ways in which we would wish to see significant changes, and if so, are those worth talking about? We have a sort of path dependence thing now where we're stuck with this thing that's been created and we're having to just move along with it without ever sort of stepping back and saying, given how ICANN has evolved, if you were to build something now, would you build what we have? Or would you build something else? And I think it's worth personally at least asking that question. I'd like to hear how CSG people see the structural issues, and I'd like, if anybody from the NCSG side wants to speak to them, to hear that too. And if not, then, like I say, we'll go to Fadi.
Do you want to take the cue?
I will keep a cue. I will even stand up to imitate Steve, my mentor. So we'll start with the great John.
Where are my knives?
John Berard from the BC. A point of information first, Bill. You correctly identified a perspective of the CSG that one of the unintended and we believe negative consequences of the current structure is the rolling up of disparate constituencies into a single entity to take a particular to a single seat to capture the views of three different organizations. You then said that you take the opposite view. So I'm curious, if we're intending to give each constituent a role, what is the opposite view of that?
Well, again, I'm supposed to be moderating rather than answering. I can turn to Aubrey real quick to answer your point, because we took a different those of us who were involved at the time in 2011 had a different argument for how stakeholder group might be organized. Some of us did. Aubrey, would you like to?
There's two parts to the answer. The one is, yes, we would prefer, in many ways, or at least some of us would have preferred at that time, for sure, an undifferentiated stakeholder group where basically all types of non-commercials, and they, similar to what the registries have started doing, created ad hoc or interest groups, but were much lighter weight the constituencies and would have had many of them. So that was certainly the initial concept we had at the time of the last review, so that you could have 7 interest groups, 10 interest groups, people working on different issues that wanted to focus on an issue short-term, long-term. In the meantime, what we've had, and I'm not sure that this carries across the stakeholder group, but I think what we've tried to do is make NCSG positions and appointments sort of between the two constituencies, and as fight first battles or first discussions in-house come to some sort of closure, or come to the notion where often people that have watched us in council have often said, BSG is split. NCSG is split, you know, and council members are going to vote as they perceive the issue needs to be. So those are two different ways in which, but we accepted the stakeholder mandate, as it were, and had two different versions of how to live within it. So to say that we had an opposite approach is to sort of say the stakeholder is what's been defined. Now, how can we make that work?
So, Bill, does she answer the question?
This is a point of great debate amongst us all. I would only say this. For those of us who work in a lot of different global governance kind of environments, this is the only environment where civil society is broken up into multiple silos and spends an enormous amount of its time dealing with the effects of silos. In every other space that we work in, civil society is together in one block. And that reduces the amount of time that is spent on, you know, organizational matters and allows for more effective participation. We don't get to participate as much because we spend a lot of cycles on stuff. So anyway, now, we had Waleed, Ron, I can't see the other, Greg, and then Steve, and then Tony.
Yes, Waleed Al-Sakaf of NCUNC for the record. What I'd like to thank Bill for raising the issue of a clean slate idea or looking into it from a new outside dimension. I'd say that as someone who's not been in ICANN for a long time, I've been in different bodies, civil society mainly, I find it rather difficult to cope with the intrinsic difficult structure of ICANN as an outsider coming in. And one of the difficulties here is that first you have to absorb the structures from the very beginning, how they are interacting with each other, how each of these silos, how the stakeholder groups first are formed and what they do, and then move on to the issues of each subgroup. And that's created a problem for me personally, because we are tending to look into the pragmatic aspect of things and how long it takes, because once you arrive to a point of making a decision, it it really is quite difficult for you to sacrifice time for a long time, because then over time things change and it becomes more dynamic. And so the idea I had in mind is that rather than focusing on the different groups, why not focusing on the themes or the subjects first, and then bring in the interpretation of why we each group could contribute or not contribute, and then come up with a consensus or based approach. And I see that it might be simplistic given the huge structure of ICANN, but it gets work done faster. And based on priorities, you have various issues to prioritize, because then, of course, you may have different silos and each one working in its own priorities. And then once you come to the final decision, what should be done for the organization as a whole, you don't really connect these priorities together, and it may take a longer period to come up with something. So that's rather my own interpretation as someone who's been outside and came into ICANN.
Thank you, Waleed. So, Ron, you were next in the queue, then Greg, and then Tony, and I think, Lori, you're raising your hand. Oh, sorry, Steve's before Lori. My apologies.
Thank you very much, Maryland. Bill. There are two points I want to bring up in this topic. One of the problems that we have, as I mentioned earlier, way back when, there were five people in each meeting room, and therefore you could actually roam around and sit in and listen to others what they were saying and doing. Now, by just the number of issues that are on the table that every entity, as we're using the term today, has to deal with, each entity has their top three or top four issues, and it may not and often is not the top three or four issues of the others that are all part of the same house. So what's happened is we've got a divide and conquer situation, whether we like it or not, in so much as it's impossible for us to go and sit in and listen to what the others are saying and just observe the meeting and hear who's saying what about what. We don't know. No one knows. We're siloed, as you well said, Bill. And so in that siloed environment, it becomes very difficult. I like the idea, but I don't know how we get there, that Avery's kind of floated this idea of maybe many more different groups, more constituencies perhaps, so that we bring a broader voice on a global scale. I don't know how that gets affected, but at the end of the day, because of this structure that we have that is hardwired now, where we have a domains division within which sits half of ICANN, meaning all of the contracted parties, and all the rest of us sit outside of that division in another body, how do we bring one voice on issues? And we've seen it happen a couple of times this year where we watched all of the GNSO with the CSG and NCSG, we've come together and said, no, this is how we all feel, where we've had our leaders, three or four or five of them, standing at the microphone together as a group, and each one made the point to the board, no, this is not the way, this is how we feel as the GNSO. It's been rare. In the 13, 14 years I've been with ICANN, I've seen that happen twice, three times, and it happened in the course of this last year. So that bottom-up consensus element, I don't know how we get to it if we can't speak with one voice, because the other side has a very loud voice, and they're contracted, and they seem to be driving the bus, and we're kind of passengers somewhere in the back of the bus. So these are just ideas that we can talk about in the breakout, but I did want to bring out that hardwired structure that we face, any way we cut it, is that there's a group that are in a domains division, they're contracted, and they're doing things that we may or may not like, but unless we speak with one unified voice, we're not going to have an opportunity to fight back. I think that Stephanie's comment, and I'm not sure if I got it right, but the idea that contracted parties are contracted to ICANN instead of contracted to the community. I like this idea of being contracted to the community. You're contracted to those who use the net, not to this body, this legal entity called ICANN. I don't know if it's even feasible to get there, but it's an interesting idea. I just wanted to touch base on that. Thank you.
And thank you for the bus imagery that helps our collective sense of identity that we're all at the back of the bus. Greg?
Greg Chatton, IPC. In my view, the commercial stakeholder group is, it's an artificial construct. It doesn't really exist, or it barely exists. And I don't think there's a great deal of impetus to make it exist more within the individual constituencies. There could be varying views on that, but that's just my view of what I see. I don't, what value there is in it other than as an occasional coalition and kind of being forced to operate in this kind of three-legged race or six-legged race, and to only put one face forward, not to mix my metaphors. It's a struggle, and I think that the groups are disparate, and depending upon how you look at it, one group may be more disparate than the other two. I often feel like the ISPs have in some ways more in common with the contracted parties being part of the infrastructure, and standing in a very different way than users. And I would just say in response to some extent to Waleed, that I do think that the peculiar structures that we have actually do make some sense. You don't find registries and registrars having separate structures in other internet governance areas either. I think that the structures we have, while they're not perfect and they're not arranged well together, that individually they do actually make sense. Putting them together in various forms of scorpions and bottles and three-legged races isn't necessarily, it doesn't help. But I think that the individual groupings themselves make sense. Thanks.
All right. Tony, you're part of the infrastructure.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. You mentioned civil society and the way that you come to conclusions on things, but I would argue that as far as it goes, the commercial stakeholder group is far more diverse. Greg just made a point about ISPs. Maybe they're closer to the contracted parties. Well, I don't quite see how that works because we're not contracted parties. And in terms of our relationships with users, if anything goes wrong in the internet, we're the guys that get it in the neck. So to say that we haven't got that close relationship to users just isn't the way it works. So even then, you can see that there are, within the commercial stakeholder group, we've got these tensions already. And when we're forced down this single corridor, it makes it even worse and more difficult to operate. I really like Avery's idea, personally, of having more of the working group concept. But, of course, the problem always comes down to the voting issue if you don't get consensus. And that's the nub of this problem, because we all know whether we're in a commercial stakeholder group or, I would suggest, even if we're in the house mode, if we have differing views and it comes to voting, we're done. It's over. And that's why this structure really doesn't work in any way whatsoever. You can't get around that. But there is a lot more thought that needs to be given through doing things a different way. I like the working group concept. But if we're going to do that, we need to move away and break from this structure that's been forced on us that clearly doesn't work.
The level of optimism in this room is really extraordinary. By the way, so originally the deal was at 12:30 we were going to break for lunch and give people time to run to the restroom and then come back and talk about accountability and eat. I assume we can go a few minutes longer if the community wants to, because I see a number of people having their flags up, but I'm sure that people will want to break soon. So let's go with the folks that have their flags up now, and then we'll see where we are after that. I can't remember whether it was Laurie or Steve next. Steve, yes.
Thank you, Bill. Steve DelBianco with the Business Constituency. Just 15 minutes ago or so, I made a process point about which I thought we could get consensus. Recall that? It was the notion that the entire GNSO is smushed down to a single seat on affirmation reviews that are all about the GTLD space, the Who is Review, and the new GTLD program. That's absurd. And I saw nods of agreement and thumbs of encouragement from all around the room. It would be a mistake to just throw that consensus, if you can call it that, away by cabining my entire point as a structural point. It isn't a structural point because it has nothing to do with the structure inside the GNSO. Go back 7 years. GNSO was a single SO. After restructuring, GNSO is, well, still a single SO. So the structure within GNSO is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It isn't the point about how GNSO and the NCPH interact with the rest of the ICANN community in cross-community working groups and in things like the affirmation reviews. Avery, I think you overstated it a bit when you suggested that the CSG was a mandate. It was a label, not necessarily a mandate. And in any event, it has no effect on the way the outside world sees the GNSO. There was nothing about the restructuring within GNSO that would dictate that only SGs
can have any representation on a cross-community working group. Why are we consolidated that way? Because it's easier for staff to manage. They look across the top of an org chart and try to pick off entities, labels, and assume that there's a structure underneath that label that's adequate to achieve a single representation. We're letting you know in no uncertain terms that we all agree that the GNSO is not a single voice when it comes to GTLD policy. And in the CSG, we're letting you know that we need more than one participant, not more than one weighted vote, Aubrey, but we need more than one participant when it comes to cross-community working groups. And that ought to be able to be accommodated and ought to be something about which we have sufficient consensus to speak to the CEO about it today.
I think we can all agree it's all staff's fault. How about that? I'm just kidding. Of course it's not. Lori.
Hello, this is Lori Schulman. I wanted to echo about Waleed's suggestion about perhaps organizing around topics of interest and levels of interest. I know that idea has actually been floated at meetings in NCSG, that because the NCSG bifurcation, we agree, is not optimal and that there could be ways to work around interests. And now I'm speaking more on behalf of the MPOC than I am particularly on the NCSG on this topic. And that is my understanding that the genesis of the MPOC was in response to exactly this dilemma. Here we have nonprofit organizations with operational concerns that straddle both spheres. There's absolutely dedication to civil society principles based on the missions that we are tasked with and the service delivery that we want to achieve, whether it's educational, health, feeding the poor, doesn't matter. We have missions to fulfill, and that absolutely falls within the scope of civil society. But then on the other hand, we're tasked with fundraising. We're tasked with messaging out to donors or creating creative ways. My organization specifically, we don't do grassroots fundraising. We raise our money through publishing. And one would make an argument, and it's a very good one, that's a commercial interest, not a non-commercial interest. But it's a commercial activity that's funding a non-commercial outcome. And that's why personally, MPO, I'm speaking personally, and I know we've discussed this within the MPOC EC, that this doesn't work for us either. Because we're sort of stuck between wanting to align when we can with those commercial interests that are going to protect our interests, particularly against fraud and abuse on the internet when it comes to fundraising, versus understanding freely concerns about free speech, privacy, identity are so critical to the missions we're all trying to accomplish. And so I would absolutely second these ideas that are going around the room that these silos don't work.
Fantastic. Okay, Steve was next. No, Marilyn. Marilyn, Steve, Dan, Aubrey.
Thank you.
And Klaus. And Kathy. We're not going to eat lunch, but that's okay.
Marilyn, Kate, I'm going to speak against homogenization and speak in behalf of finding areas of commonality where that makes sense. But homogenizing us, at the last meeting, the BC members instructed us as officers and in the CSG meetings urged that we work more to educate the board and the staff about the distances and differences between our constituency and even the other two constituencies in the CSG. So, because we feel that, in fact, we are doing a disservice to the board and the staff when it is there's a single view put forward. The whole value of ICANN is supposed to be about the bottom up, and then where multi-stakeholder, and then where you can find consensus, let's do so. But in fact, we have to be able to also identify those differences. At the same time, I think, Lori, there are areas where we can work across the different groups around policy issues or other issues. But I want to make a comment. So my point is, I don't think that homogenization is a good idea, but I think we got to get better about articulation of the uniqueness of the different perspectives and then finding a way when we have commonality. In the recent days, we've seen commonality between the ALAC and the BC and the GAC on a particular topic. We've seen commonality between some other groups on a particular topic. I think those
we've been able to do that in the past, and I recall the days when we, in fact, have written letters to the board with commonality across all of the groups on a specific topic. But let me just say that in my experience, and others here are much more experienced than I am on this, the voice of small businesses from developing regions and countries is very different than the voice of global providers. And I suspect that is true of NGOs from developing countries as well. So I hope we keep the diversity and the importance of the different voices in mind.
Thank you. That's a two-finger, very short.
Okay, I'm going to take this opportunity to say I am not advocating for homogenization of anything. Okay, but you pretty much, you. Oh, all right, I just want to make that clear. I think there are absolutely areas of common interest. Where they lie and where they cross is the challenge, and it's always been the challenge. And then I'll cut it short by saying, as an NGO, I'm still very, very comfortable being part of NCSG. But where we can work cross-functionally is where we have to.
Okay. And, Laurie, if you're done, could you put your tag down
so
I don't get confused? My mind is very small. Steve?
Thank you. Steve Metallitz. Very briefly, first I just want to thank Waleed for his comments. I think they underscore that we need to think at all times about the effect of these structures on participation and on a diverse participation. And I think one of the things that is very bad about the current structure is that it discourages participation, just partly due to its incredible complexity. And there may be other reasons why, but I know trying to recruit people to and companies to become more active within the intellectual property constituency, the complexity of the current structure is a big disincentive. So, I also think what the concerns Laurie was raising are indicative of that. The whole idea of the earlier restructure, one of the ideas, or one of the goals, was to increase participation, particularly from major not-for-profit organizations, and I do not think we've succeeded in that. It has not worked well, so that's one reason why we need to change the structure. I'll just conclude by saying I agree with Steve Del Bianco that this organization chart, which I don't think works well in the GNSO context, is clearly inappropriate for a lot of non-GNSO type situations, such as the AOC reviews and so forth.
I'll abuse my position just to echo real briefly. I will say I've had the experience in trying to organize outreach events with civil society that when I have to explain the complexity of the internal ICANN structure and where people might position themselves, they just say, oh, to hell with it. Seriously, it's just like our structures are a complete disincentive to get engaged, I think. And I've heard this over and over. Dan.
So I want to pick up on a couple of themes, because I agree with, I think, what are the common themes across what almost everybody has said. If I look at ICANN structure, this group in any organization would be labeled as other. It's all the other stuff that doesn't fit anyplace else. And that is the core of the problem. As Tony said, it means the only things that emerge as consensus are a small subset of the issues on which everybody agrees, because the strongly held positions of the subgroups, which are themselves internally consistent and may not be globally reflective of the group, basically never emerge from the group and don't have an external voice. And that's a problem for every one of the subgroups. So maybe the question is, does this group need to be dissolved and partitioned into some separate groups that are more internally consistent that have external voices? Because the one thing I learned about politics at any level is the only way you have influence is if you speak with unanimity, right, and consistency. And if a group can't do that, its position inevitably gets diluted or ignored. And that's fundamentally, it seems to me, part of the problem with which we're struggling. But when the politics internal to the group for a position to emerge are so complex and Byzantine that you struggle to do that, the number of positions that can get articulated that represent consensus decline. And so to me, that's the fundamental organizational question. We either go to some structure that says we have no internal structure and we find ways, as Aubrey said, to build sort of ad hoc position groups that can articulate some things. We think about something different because this is not working.
Aubrey, Klaus, lunch. Aubrey. Oh, Kathy, I'm sorry. Kathy gets a closing benediction. So, again, Aubrey, Klaus, Kathy, lunch.
Just a quick thing, and I probably should have asked for a two-finger, as you call it, when Steve Salbianco said I misspoke in calling it a mandate. You're right. The constituencies that became part of the CSG actually were part of the consensus that agreed upon this, that ended up coming back from the board and saying, yes, we'll do what you suggest. So indeed, as a member of that group, I was the only one outside the consensus. So I know that there was a consensus of the six. I was a NOMCOM appointee at the time. There was a consensus among the six constituencies that were participating in that team to come up with this structure we have now. And there was only one dissenting voice. So you're right. I was wrong to call it a mandate. That was a misstatement on my part. Look at the report. Read the report. It's exactly as spoken. On Laurie's statement about the fuzzy borders, I think that gets even worse when you leave Western economies and you get to the point where this whole notion of non-profit, not-for-profit, non-commercial may not even exist in a lot of the countries. So I think that here we actually end up with an analog between, similar to the problem that the CSG has with infrastructure versus, you know, other business types, et cetera, and we have. So it goes even further to talking about that. It's really hard for people to find the box they belong in. And you pick one aspect of yourself and say, aha, the strongest aspect about myself is non-commercial. Okay, I'll go in that box. The strongest aspect about myself is I work for an intellectual property law firm. Okay, I'll go into that box. But when you get to the concerns that people are bringing, they're often wider. And when you leave Western economies, it really gets even more difficult.
If you want a taste of this, talk to the fellows. After we've all gone and met with the fellows at each meeting and told them, well, this is what we do and so on, and the fellows end up going, I don't know where the hell to go. It's the same thing. Klaus?
Seamlessly going on from what Afri said, I think we need to simply concentrate and start with reality. I'm the managing director of an organization of the Global Knowledge Partnership Foundation, which started 16 years ago as an organization was basically funded from governments and from grants and things like that. And the same with the members. They got grants from different organizations and everything was fine. Today, I'm the managing director of an organization which basically is completely not for profit. But it's very commercial because we have to make our money through commercial activities. And a lot of my members, which are civil society members, are small businesses. They are more small businesses because that's the only way they survive. And I think what we have to do very simply and straightforward is to find ways how this reality is actually reflected in the structures we are having. And the only solution I see is, for example, that we are really responsible to the people, to the users. We have to go back to the user, and that's the only way it works. And to Bill, for example, when Bill uses civil society, I know what civil society definition Bill is using. And he's right, and that is a valid civil society definition. I've got a completely different one because it's based on my reality, and I've same right to do it. So sometimes I feel we really should go back to the beginning and start defining who we are and what we are doing and what we are standing for before we make decisions on behalf of things and use big words.
Thank you, Klaus. I want to acknowledge the arrival of Steve Crocker. Steve, great to have you here. And Kathy Kleinman has the closing comment, but she doesn't have a mic, so can you?
Can you hear me? This is Kathy Kleiman. I apologize. I wasn't here for introduction. Schools open late here in D.C. today, the downside of actually being local. I'm part of the non-commercial stakeholder group and non-commercial users constituency. And what I'm about to say, given all the other comments, is going to be immensely unpopular, so I credit whoever said that before and preface their comments with that. I hearken back to what Steve DelBianco said earlier today, that we're all users. To me, we have more in common than we have opposing. We are the users, and domain names are how we all share our messages, be those messages commercial or non-commercial. We have a lot of care about the accessibility of those domain names, how we get them, how we use them, how we lose them. So that said, the small businesses that Marilyn mentioned have a lot in common with non-commercial interests. They care a lot about fair use. New businesses, entrepreneurs, care a lot about using the same words for their goods and services that everyone else has used over the last millennium. They care about naming. And I just wanted to share that having been on the registry side briefly, people know I was director of policy for .org, the registries and registrars actually don't think they have as much in common as we might. So I think we might have more in common. The fact that we're all sitting around the table, 15 years ago this would never have happened. The fact we're all sitting around the table, that we're talking about issues that we have concerns about together, I think that's an advancement. Sure, there's a lot of work to be done, but I think we've come a long way. Thank you.
That was a wonderful ending point, Kathy, so thank you very much for that. Kumbaya. And we, I think, have some consensus here that there are real issues with structure, and this should be brought to the attention of the board in relation to the GNSO review and beyond. So let's the group that's going to put together something, hopefully that can be taken on board as well. Okay, I now hand it over to Rob for a little logistical intervention. And then we will break and do lunch and talk about accountability.
Thank you, Bill. Doesn't require a lot of introduction. We do have food over in the corner. Let's take about 15 minutes for folks to make their way. I don't know how much of you want to line up or just go over and graze. In a moment, Carlos will tell us what the selection is. But we'll take about 15 minutes.